Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. I believe today is the first day of summer, so welcome, welcome, welcome. Hope you're enjoying the nice, lovely hot weather. I love hot weather, so I'm excited. Well, happy Tuesday. Welcome back to Teachable Moments. I'm your host, Amber Waters Porter, and tonight I have another guest, a different guest, Pastor Stanton Gilmore from Greensboro, North Carolina. But before we get into our subject, which is God is our best accountability partner, let's go back to our moments with Mama. Mama says, words of wisdom. Mama, are you on here?
I'm on.
Hey.
Well, thank you, Amber, and good evening to you and all of your radio guests. Let me just say this. There's a scripture that's been really pulling and tugging at my heart. And it's found in Revelation chapter 3 of the 21st verse, and it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, any man, boy, or girl would open up to me, the word of the Lord says, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." And I'm just sharing that with you all tonight. Behold, which means a moment, stop, look, and recognize that God the Father is knocking at your door, inviting you to open up that he can come in. And when I think about sup, sup means that I can sit with you and dine. We can share, as it were, a meal. It may be the word, the presence of God that he wants to share with you and you with him. You can open up, have him come in, and you can just flee, as it were, into his arms, sit in his lap, and lay your head upon his breast and allow the Lord to impart spiritual nutrients and vitamins and health to your bones, health to your spirit, give you joy, peace, and happiness. I'm excited when I think about the Lord taking time. I just have an actual vision in my mind of the Father standing at the door with his staff, just kind of rapping at our personal door, rapping at our hearts, for us to just open our hearts, yield ourselves, lend ourselves to his presence, lend ourselves to hearing what thus and giving us the opportunity to really cry out, express ourselves, present our petitions to him, or even just ask him a question. What is your will for me? What is your plan for my life? What is my destiny and my purpose? You can present that to him when he stands at the door knocking, and you open up, crying out, "Yes, Lord, I yield, I submit to thee." Miss Amber, as I think on that word, I think about biblical characters who had a close encounter. There was none any greater than the encounter that Moses had when he came to a place and saw the burning tree. Hallelujah. And a voice spoke out of the tree telling him, "The ground you stand on is holy ground." And as he peered more at this burning tree that was not consumed, God, our Master, God, our Father, spoke explicitly to Moses, declaring unto him what his will and plan was, directing him on a definite path. And so as I wrap up, I'm saying that God's calling us. He may show himself, as we said, as a burning bush. He may reveal himself as the word in the word. He may reveal himself to us in a vision or a dream. But if we yield ourselves, if we open our hearts, our minds, and our spirit, and say, yea, Lord, Lord, thy servant heareth. That's what Isaiah said. But if we just open up, we recognize that God is standing in our presence. We're standing in his presence. He will sup with us, and we with him. He will feed us manna from on high. He will feed us till we want no more. He will fill us till we flow and overflow. Well, I'm about finished, Amber. That's what Mama has to say for today. Behold, in Revelation, it says, I stand at the door and knock. When we hear that knock, open up. Let him in. And let's see what good news. Let's see what good things, what grace, what mercy, passion he extends to us that will bless our lives, not just today, tomorrow, and right on in to eternity. Thank you, Miss Amber. I'm finished. Let the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. God bless.
God bless. Thank you. Join Pastor Porter every week or Mama Says segment every Tuesday from 6 o'clock to 6:05 or whenever she's finished her little segment and giving us words of wisdom. And so moving on to my guest. My guest is Pastor Stanton Gilmore. He is a native of Charleston, West Virginia, where he was called to ministry at 20 years old. Now living in Greensboro, Pastor Gilmore is active as the leader of the media team at Elam Christian Fellowship. He brings experience from the broadcast industry, having worked for two television stations and volunteered as camera audio operation along with floor directing during his career. This job experience has given him a valuable skill set that he willingly offers to this church. He has served faithfully with Elam since April 2002. Over the years, he has taught Bible classes, trained ministers, mentored members, and is still an avid encourager to the pastors and church families. He is the owner of Excel Services and My Lawn Care Service. He is married to Tekla Harding Gilmore and his father to 7 children. Welcome, Pastor Stan Gilmore. How are you this evening?
Thank you so much. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm just peachy. I'm doing well myself. Thank you for asking. So let's get into your topic. You are very specific about your topic, and your topic this evening is God is our best accountability partner.
Yes.
Sounds like you had some experience with that.
Yes, I have. And what I should say about myself is, and maybe some of the listeners can identify with it, there's so many times in my life that I felt like I could pursue a goal or achievement or, you know, have ambitions on my own. And in a lot of cases, they didn't turn out like I thought.
Right.
So, you know, I thought I was doing everything right. But then when I prayed and I talked to God or I heard his word from somebody, then God changed how I thought about things and how I approached it. So, you know, he corrected some things for me.
Okay. Isn't that like God to correct us?
Yes, it is.
And I firmly believe that if people were to realize that we are accountable to someone, we would all of us would be more careful about the decisions we make and the things that we do and the things that we say and how we behave. So that's very impressed with the topic because we are accountable to somebody. It's not just I'm grown, I do what I want to do, I say what I want to say, I go where I want to go. We are accountable. We will be held accountable. So I don't want to take your points for you, but let's get into your points. You like to say that God has expectations for us and God has expectations of us. Explain to me what the difference is, what you mean by that.
Well, he has expectations for us because he tells us who we are and what we are supposed to do. In Genesis, you know, God created man. He made him in his image and after his likeness. So in that, you see that we should at least look like God and act like him. Of course, if you ask most people, you would probably find out that we don't. He also told, you know, this same man in the garden, he said, I want you to have dominion. So he was telling him he wanted him to rule, and he told him all of the things that he was to rule over. You know, continuing with the expectations for us, you know, in Jeremiah 29:11, which is one of my best scriptures, you know, God looks at Israel, who had been disobedient, and at that moment he was chastising them. He had them in bondage to another nation. You know, and they were crying out to him. He looked at him. He says, you know, when these 70 years are over, I'm going to bring you back to your homeland. Then he says, for I know the thoughts that I have of you.
Right.
And it's interesting for God to stop his people and say, wait a minute, you don't really know what I think about you, but I do. And here's what it is. He said, there are going to be thoughts of good, not thoughts of evil.
Yeah.
You know, he said, thoughts to prosper you and not to harm you and to give you a hope in the future or an expected end. So that's, you know, when I talk about he has expectations for us, I think God wants the best for us. And then when it comes to expectations of us, he wants us to obey him, things that he tells us to do.
Right.
You know, going back to the Garden of Eden, he told them to eat of every tree in the garden, but then don't touch, you know, this tree right here. Don't touch this one. If you do, you'll surely die. And so man decided he's going to do his own thing, you know, but God had expected something completely different.
Different.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, when we look at today and a lot of things that we would say, the world has gone crazy. The world has gone crazy because people are not looking at the plan of God and putting into play everything that God has said for us to do. We just throw his instruction and everything aside.
Okay, so I want to add on to what you're saying because that's right, goes on to my next point. We're talking about the Garden of Eden, and then when, you know, today we don't do what we need to do to find our plan of God. So tell us, give us some examples of how we allow daily busyness, the busyness of the day to replace our pursuit of God.
Okay. We will get up in the morning and, you know, I thank God for my media device, you know, my digital, my phone, my iPhone, the Samsung, you know, Galaxy 8 or whatever, the tablets and stuff like that. But they provide a distraction because we'll get up and look on Facebook to see what's happening on Facebook, or we'll play a game, or we'll get up and thoughts are on, they're a continuing thought from yesterday, from our job, something that we didn't finish that we need to finish. And so in our mind, we're trying to figure out how we're going to get this thing done, how we're going to please our boss, how are we going to work with the coworker that made us upset yesterday? Or we get distracted with children. We get distracted with plenty of other things, a grocery list, you know, school, education. This class is really weighing me down, so I got to put everything I have into it. And so what happens is the priority becomes the things that we have to do instead of the person that we have to look for.
Right.
Which would be God.
And those are all very true examples. Sometimes, excuse me, I find myself, I don't wake up and turn Facebook, thank God I don't need to be delivered from that, but I will turn on HLN News, Morning Express with Robin Mead, or CNN to see what craziness the government is doing or the president's doing, and then it's like, okay, I'm doing this, I'm more interested in what they're saying, rather than to take in that moment to say, you know what, Lord, thank you for another day. What can I do today? What is on your docket and what is your plan for me today? A lot more conscious about that. But I know that there are people who do that, and they may not think that there's anything wrong with that. What do you say?
Well, you know, you think about the pursuit of things, you know, ambitions, like I had mentioned before, you know, to go after something good, to make achievements, to be the best employee you can be, or any other good thing is not bad. It's just the priority we set.
Right.
David from the Bible says that he followed hard after God. It meant that God, his pursuit of God was so intentional, it was so intense, that was the thing that became at the front of his mind. You know, he would say things like, he said, there's one thing that I desire of the Lord and that will I seek after. And he, you know, he wasn't asking for money or anything like that. He said that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He said that I may behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in the temple.
Right.
You know, and for him, it was one thing. But if you look at David's life, that one thing that he desired spread over his whole life until it affected him, the kingdom he ruled over, and his family.
Mm-hmm. And so let me ask you this. Last week I asked the same question of Pastor Porter because last week was a question and answer period, and you just said the same thing when you said we had to pursue hard after God and try to find his plan for us. How do you describe what people, some people say, how do you pursue hard after, what does that really mean? What does that literally mean? Do I go outside and just go to the corner and start looking? Like, how do I practically pursue God hard?
And that's a good example. I mean, because people think that you have to do, I think, some crazy things, but it's not crazy. It's in the simple things. One thing that all of us have to do is realize that God is real enough today that what he says he really means. And we have to put that at the forefront. That's the first thing. And it makes the word of God important. You know, even when we're in a teaching moment or a teaching session or Sunday service, Bible study, small group, instead of thinking of that as a gathering where you're going to see people, think of that time as a time you're going to get something so profound for your life that you don't want to miss it.
Okay.
You know, even in the morning, if people would spend 5 minutes reading a few passages of scripture, even if you don't understand it, because if I go back to what you said about watching CNN and Robin Mead, those things actually affect your thinking, then they affect your conversation the rest of the day. Somebody will talk to you about it. Wow, yes, I really heard this, and I said, you know, and they said this and that. But what would happen if we would have more of the Word of God on our mind than the problems that everybody else is seeing? Then we might become an answer, you know, for somebody that needs some help. So I would say one practical way is to make sure that the Word of God is important enough to pay attention to, and then be very intentional at getting in front of it. And it doesn't take, you don't have to go to a street corner to get it. You don't have to go to church. I'm going to say this on a churchy radio program. You don't even have to go to church and get the Word of God. It's in your house.
Right.
That's true. But let's just stick it in. When you go to church, you're doing corporate. You're worshiping with that with everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you're right. That word, you can find, find God in your house. You can find him on your job. You can find him in the bathroom. You can find him anywhere. He's everywhere. So that makes sense. And when you're pursuing him, you pursue God in all of those places, at home, in church, on your job, in the bathroom, on the street corner, everywhere. You're constantly having that dialogue and that conversation. God, I'm seeking to know you more, less than me, more of you. Pour into me, breathe into me.
The thing that solidifies the word is our action afterwards, because to say that we have learned the word and don't do what it says, if it says to love your neighbor, that's the truth, and you have to do it. So, the pursuit of God continues in our action. And when we're obedient to do exactly what he says to do, even though it may be hard sometimes. And here's the thing, this preacher on this end of the phone conversation is not going to say that any of this is easy. And
right.
I don't think that Jesus or any of the other apostles or the prophets would say that it's easy. It's something we have to do regardless of the challenge.
Right. Which brings to the next point, that honesty with God helps us to see ourselves more clearly.
Okay.
Being honest.
Right. Being honest. Being honest. And it's tough enough to be honest with people.
Tell you the truth.
Because we think that people will judge us if we tell them that we have problems with lying. We have problems. I've talked to people who are born again, they're in the church, and just the other day somebody made them mad enough to cuss. So they'll talk to me. And I'm just telling the truth. The same way I'm talking to you now, I talk over the pulpit as well, because this is reality. If a person has problems with sexual sin or things like that, it's difficult to own up to that. And with people, the problem is that we feel like they're going to judge us so harshly that maybe we ought to go somewhere else, or maybe we ought to quit the church. And then we overlay that same thinking to God. Here's the situation with God. God sees everything we do anyway.
True.
And he's not scared. He's not afraid. He's not repelled by our dirtiness.
Uh-huh.
He's just not. So we can come to him and tell him, God, I fell short. I completely fell short. And the only way that a person can do that is that the word would really affect them in such a way that they realize that what they've done is wrong and they need to do right. They need to improve. They need to come up to a different level. And so when you come to God and you're honest and you say, Lord, I'm the sinner. I'm the one that needs your help. I'm the one that needs to be cleansed. That's where you start employing him as an accountability partner. Because an accountability partner is a person who is going to help us to keep commitments that we've made.
That's good. And also, you have a point that our accountability to God makes us better with other people. Because
right.
I might add, a lot of people feel, I'm accountable to God, but I don't owe you anything or whatever. I know my pastor will say in church, and you hear it a lot everywhere. How can you want to step on my toes, you want to suck your teeth or roll your eyes in me and then turn around and worship God? You can't do that. You can't mistreat me and expect to enter his presence. And
you remember just a few minutes ago, I think it was about corporate, being in corporate worship, things like that. That's a place where we can hide. Because if our hands are lifted up, we're like everybody else. If we're smiling and we're happy on Sunday, we're like everybody else. But nobody sees us the other 6 days.
True.
God does.
That's true.
Okay. So in an audience of one, as my pastor says, in an audience of one, do we have the integrity we say that we have in the corporate setting? And if we can answer that question in front of God himself and say, God, I have done what you wanted me to do, or God, I'm striving to do what you want me to do, or God, I haven't done everything and I'm sorry. That's integrity too. So when we're able to make the changes in God's presence, think about how great it is to people when we go back out in the public, because then mm-hmm. if God has changed us and made us genuine, he's made us right, he has made us whole, he has made us righteous before him, our acts, you know, are according to what he expects, then we should be the type of people who could deal with other people a lot better than what we do.
That's true. And so you have a plan. It's a simplified plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give you the opportunity to say that. We have a few minutes left, but explain to me what your simplified plan of accountability, what that is.
Okay. The simplified plan is just simply this: hear, pray, and execute. Hear, pray, and execute. You hear the word. Because faith or our belief, you know, and even in belief, there's some motivation with that. There's some drive behind it. When we hear the word and we want to be doers of the words, you know, we make a commitment to that. But then pray and talk to God about our lives, our situations, our families, especially about us being people in the earth today who could be representative of his family, of his kingdom. You know, pray about that. And one thing that that I see in the word is that the word is our mirror. It shows us who we are. Okay?
Yes.
And the word is also our mail delivery system. It gets information from God to us. Then the other thing is that the prayer part of it is our executive meeting with God. And some people might get that wrong. Executive? What do you mean we're executives in God? No, I mean that once you hear the word, you have to execute. And so God gives us the power to execute his word. And so when I say hear, pray, and execute, that's what we should look at for our personal lives, and pray that our personal lives will affect other people's lives as well.
Well, thank you, Pastor Stanton Gilmore, for being our speaker tonight. Tell us real quick in about 10 seconds how someone can contact you, reach out to you.
Well, they can contact me at 336-554-0257 or on Facebook. I'm just simply Stan Gilmore. And I am a member of Elam Christian Fellowship in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Thank you for being on our show. Thank you again, listeners, for listening in. Join us next week, next Tuesday, from 6 to 6:30 for more Teachable Moments. Until then, find your moment. Good night, everyone.